Hey there, this is Nick Shins from Job for a Cowboy, and you are listening to Interview Under Fire, very similar to Denzel Washington's Man on Fire, but better.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Interview Under Fire. This is your beloved host here, Sunny, as always. A lot of excitement today as I have the honor of speaking with Nick Shingelis. And yes, I got that last name correct.
Nailed
Bro,
it.
It's an honor, man. Thank you so much for joining our IUF series today. I mean, I mentioned it earlier, the comeback of comebacks, if you can even call it that, right? A great way to begin 2024, trying to get that number right, too. For you and the boys over at Job for a Cowboy with the drop of a new album, Moon Healer, set to release on February 23rd on Metal Blade Records. Wow. Firstly, Nick, congrats on the well-deserved recognition you guys have been getting so far. Those singles that dropped, those immensely devastating singles, The Forever Rod, Agony Seeping Storm, Beyond the Chemical Doorway, a lot to unpack about this headbanger of a record and what you're all about. Before we get to all that, right, let's take a deep breath. How are you, man? After 10 years, I know you guys are riding in there between of not releasing music. I mean, does it feel real? Does it feel like a brand new band again? Does it feel like you're right off, left off where 2010
right,
was,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Are you nervous? Like, what's going on in that head of yours?
It feels pretty good, man. I think overall, we're just kind of doing the old take it one thing at a time. One task at a time, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
it's kind of been like that. I mean, I guess even for the past like 6 to 8 years, you know, like knowing that this stuff was that we wanted to put this out, that we wanted this to be like a sister record to Sun Eater. And you know, we played our world tour in 2016. It was only one show, it was in Vancouver, but and after that show, that was like where we played the Sun Eater stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was so jazzed up on it because we loved that record. It was the first record that I've really, really loved enough to like listen to a lot. Like I don't listen to I'll like kind of like that nostalgic thing that we were talking about. Like I almost like listen to records for that feeling just to like go back to that time in my life and try to, you know, remember where you were when you were doing the recording of it and all this stuff. Right. But I don't like listen to a lot of my records a whole bunch. There's a very short list out of like, I don't know, 11 or 12 records that I've done. And Sun Eater, I love listening to that record. Like I enjoy
same.
That record a lot. And same with Johnny. And so when we were like, okay, we're going to put this together and do this another one. It was important for us to like make sure that it lived up to that standard. So I guess I would say like, despite there not being time pressure, you know, because it wasn't like, you know, the label being like, all right, 2017, you got to come out. I mean, they would give us little pokes to see if we were dead, you know, but for the most part, like it was very like, okay, you know, do your thing. You know, we know Johnny's got kids and life and Tony's going to med school and all the stuff that was going on that all the real adulting that was going on that sort of forced us into doing things day by day, step by step. You know, song by song, riff by riff, like really chunking things down because it was such a massive undertaking to put this thing all together that I guess it's kind of like other things in life too. It's like if I try to think about like even doing the press, right? Like the press has like been pretty extensive this time around compared to Sun Eater. I think partially because, I don't know, maybe if there was wind that we weren't touring or anything like that or what the deal was, or maybe it was just cause like Sun Eater was coming out in that phase of the band's life where we were kind of like not accepted by the deathcore scene because they stopped playing deathcore after Genesis and then not quite accepted into the death metal tech death scene. I mean, accepted and we're friends and stuff, but people still call the band deathcore, you know, like you still have that MySpace deathcore, this haircut thing attached to it forever, you know? And so maybe it was because of that, but regardless, there's a ton of press this time around. And I look at it, I'm like, oh man. And they're like, oh, we need another couple of days. And I'm like, okay, don't look at the full day and all these ones. Like just one. All you gotta do is one. All you gotta do is get through that next 30 minutes at a time. So that's kind of how where life is at with doing the band stuff specifically. Cause like I'm still doing all my other bands too.
Yeah.
So, and it's like four other bands. So I'm like, okay, what am I doing right now? That's all I can really focus on. Otherwise you get like, oh shit, overwhelmed. How am I going to do all this? You know what I mean?
I mean, Nick, I appreciate you sharing all that. I mean, you also got to think technology is different now from 10 years ago. I mean, considering what how press is handled, you got to think about because after the pandemic, everybody was, oh, hey, we could do interviews and all this stuff from home. So,
Right.
one of the reasons why we're able to connect on here like we are right now. But
Yeah, it
it's,
used to be phoners. You'd be like,
dude,
it was just all phoners.
Yeah, everything now it's easily accessible. So I think that's a good thing for you guys, considering
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like it's almost like a high school reunion in a way. You graduate, right? But then
That
10 years later, which is really 10 years later if you really keep track of the dates
is
here,
fucking weird. And that's.
you're getting that email. It's like, oh hey, let's meet
Yeah.
up and see how everyone looks like 10 years later.
Wow, that's
Johnny,
crazy.
if I'm not mistaken, he cut his hair. It's
Oh,
not
yeah.
Yeah,
Yep.
so
Yeah, he cut it back to
I looked at the press when I was like, wait, which one's Johnny? I had to like pick it
my.
out
Right?
because of how
Yeah.
much time has went by. It's interesting to think about things like
It
that.
is crazy that you mentioned that. I've seen posts in the comments too, in some of the videos and whatever too, about people like, oh, Sun Eater came out when I was graduating high school. So now it literally, that is really cool to think about it
I
that way
was
and
3 years
trippy.
fresh off of high school. Wait, was
Wow.
I can't even remember right now. See, now just like I'm losing track of time if you go back. I don't mean to interrupt you there, but I was gonna ask. You mentioned your other bands. How are things going over at freaking Havoc, Cephalic Carnage, and you got a couple other acts? I
Sure.
mean, dude, you're doing a lot of things, buddy.
Gonna be doing some stuff again with Havoc probably.
Oh yeah.
I think I might be doing that Milwaukee Metal Fest, that little
Okay.
dealio, and then some other stuff. We're just kind of working out details. It's kind of hired gun status right now, where we're like kind of just taking it like offer by offer. But I mean, I love the dudes, and it always rolls really well. We always have like the most fun on tour. Did a little bit of recording too, which should be fun. Hopefully that stuff will see the light
I'm gonna have to just
soon.
bring you back whenever that
Yeah.
comes out
Yep.
because one of my favorite thrash metal bands is Havoc, especially
Ah.
when it comes to contemporary bands because I grew up listening
Sweet.
to thrash and you guys are doing something I feel like no one's doing it the way you guys are, but that's a whole different conversation again,
Yeah, for
if
sure.
when that
Yeah.
time comes for Havoc. But Nick, I'm gonna switch gears here for a second
Sure.
because you personally, I don't the band is from Glendale, Arizona, that's where they're based, but you're from Colorado, man. For
Right.
fans and listeners who don't already know, I want to dive into your story here, if that's all right, because
Sure,
going back
100%,
to
man.
we could go back to 2011, maybe before that, but because obviously that was a significant time for you, Nick, because that entailed
Sure.
you joining Drop for a Cowboy. I mean, if you could briefly talk about that time in your life, we talked about being nostalgic, but I want to get to down to the nitty-gritty
Right.
here because that moment in your life when you knew that this is what you wanted to do with it, right? Because
Yeah.
everything went by in a blink at the same time, throw a pandemic in there, a hiatus within the band. Playing in other bands, how did you know, hey, I love this. This is I'm good at this shit. Let's keep it going,
Yeah.
man. Like tell me more about that if you can.
Sure, of course. Yeah. I think it probably started back with my cousins influencing me when I was like 9, 10 years old, early 90s, 91, 92, in conjunction with like MTV, you know what I mean? Beavis and Butthead, is where I found that.
Gosh.
I think I
We're
found
gonna
maybe
have to
it.
have like some kind of like vintage filter in this like interview, have like
I
different like icons like
know. Yeah,
Nickelodeon
exactly.
and
It was just cool, man, because it was like, you would find out about, Crowbar and Typo Negative and Megadeth, I think, even if I'm not mistaken, I think I found out about Megadeth on Beavis and Butthead. So, but my cousins were really big into music, and they would be like, you got, Metallica. They show me Metallica or Stone Temple Pilots or whatever. So, but when we got to the Pantera, we watched a year and a half in the life of Metallica, but when we got to the Pantera home videos, that is what made me be like, oh shit. That's what, we love just throwing all the mattresses together in the living room and just having our own mosh pit and just breaking shit, setting stuff on fire, lighting fireworks off, just kind of generally raging. And I was like, you can do that for a living,
you're
like,
talking to
and
someone
play music.
who's in Texas right now, so that hits home.
There you go, man. So it was really that was like what really instilled the like, oh man, that would be so awesome to do. But it kind of is pipe dreamish. Still,
Yeah.
that you could ever do it. It's like, oh, could you be a fighter pilot? That's pretty tough odds to get to be able to do that. But so when we went to, then I was gonna go try to be a pro snowboarder, another kind of lofty goal. And so I moved up to the mountains right out of high school, and I had bands on and off through high school with my buddy Greg Williams. But I got evicted out of our place because the alcoholic cokehead roommate got put in charge of rent. So
Oh
all of us
shit.
came home to an eviction notice, and then rather than trying to couch surf up there, my buddy was like, dude, why don't we start, let's fucking start a band. And so we started a band, and it wasn't until I heard Mudvayne LD50 though that it really like that I fell in love with an instrument the way that I did with bass, you know. And so that's when it was like I started progressing really fast on the bass compared to the guitar. And then it was like we started like putting together music, two basses, drums and vocals, no regular guitars. And we were kind of anti-guitar at that point, really. And so we started playing around town and started doing really good. We had still had a strong connection with all of our high school friends. So
Yeah.
we'd have like, you know, like we could fit like there'd be all ages balcony, right? So it's like the rest of the show is 21 and up comp tickets, which was kind of easy to fill for bands because people get to go to a show for free, cool, whatever. But the upstairs was the tricky part to do because that was $8, and that was for under 21, and we would pack that out, and like things started going really well to the point where I got noticed by Fall at Carnage's guitar player Zach and this dude Sherwood, and so then I was like that was my first opportunity to tour, and it was wild and crazy and kind of everything I'd been looking for, wanting to travel and meet new people and party and have fun and see the world. And so that was kind of it, man. It just kind of that bug got locked in
Yeah.
there. And then no matter what happens with a band's lineup or touring schedule or whatever, like I'm like, I can't quite get myself to do the settle down and, you know, do what all the other dudes in Job are doing.
Yeah.
Like I gotta keep playing music. I gotta keep going doing the music thing, man.
I was wondering, like, do you have like flyers or like tickets from back in those days, like recordings?
Yeah.
Just, and do you actually go and watch yourself and be like, huh, what
Yeah,
the hell was
it's I found a videotape. My buddy had been coming to all of our shows and videotaping them, and he digitized them finally and gave me them. There's some missing, like our very first show with Any Matter and that kind of stuff. But even watching the old Symphonic stuff, it's interesting
Dude.
being like, wow, they totally, because I was, you know, I looked like a frat boy or something. Like I had like a yellow Ducati shirt and like cargo shorts,
Break those
you
out
know.
again, man. We're being
And you know, and they were just cool. They were letting me kind of come into my own. You know, it was a very,
Yeah.
very kind, like older brother type of vibe with Zach, Joe, and Steve, and John, and Len. You know, where they were kind of like, okay, he's green. He's got this giant pedal board and this giant rig. He'll learn. Just let him learn on his own. They weren't like, you can't do this, dude. You can't do this. It was just like, you pick it up slowly. You go from green to, I don't know, brown, I guess, is the color. Pretty
Yeah.
red.
You know what's really unique about that time is like when you were playing those bands that you were mentioning, and then of course the transition to Job for a Cowboy, or even not even transition, but just adding it into your repertoire. But that time, you talk about like deathcore, death metal, it was evolving. Obviously, you can talk about what Whitechapel's doing right now. I always kind of lumped the two of you together because you guys were transcending that specific barrier. And what's the thing that we're all afraid of is change, right? You can go as far
Yeah.
as back as anything, any topic or subject you want to talk about. But Moon Healer, right? Let's talk about this because this we got I know we got 10 minutes, but this drops in a couple of weeks on Metal Blade. I do want to talk about Metal Blade for a second because shout out to my guy Brian Slagle, but
Yeah.
they were also around with Sun Eater. Again, to people who don't know that. But even after 10 years, bro, here they are still at your side. You know,
Yeah.
what is that feeling like of having a renowned label like Metal Blade
Right.
still at your side after all these years? Because you know it could easily be like, oh hey, you know you guys are doing anything, we could go
Right.
this route, but that's
Yeah.
I feel like you guys have found something here with Metal Blade after
Sure.
all these years.
Yeah. It's very familial, you know.
Yeah.
Like everything is, you know, I that one of that first tours I was talking about wearing cargo shorts and Ducati shirts on stage. Khaki cargo shorts at that. Was with Black Dahlia. Well, not Black Dahlia wasn't on the tour,
Dude,
but
I
that's
still
when I
wear those.
first
Sorry, go
when I
ahead.
when I first met when I first met I still have them too. But when I first met Black Dahlia, it was at this festival, and I think in Austria, and I met Ryan Williams, Bart, the old bass
Yeah.
player.
God,
And
those days.
you know, so like come full circle now, like he's who I talk to at the label, you know, like
That's
he's
amazing.
yeah he works it, so it
I
is
didn't
a
even know that,
it's
actually. That's news to me.
yeah, him and Vince I've known now forever. And so and all of them now I just partied with, like Tracy and Diana and Catherine, and out at at NAMM, you know, the Metal
Yeah.
Legion show or something. We were drinking and having fun, and it was like it's very familiar. It's like a family. So
Yeah.
that's really cool because just having that level of respect and care for each other is really cool. And to know that they, are putting into this record, I guess like the belief that it's gonna that it would do something that people would receive it, from the get. They're like, no, yeah, people want it, people are gonna do it. So, and sometimes they gotta prod us to get stuff done, you know what I mean? Because like it takes, with everybody still having the jobs that they have, it's tough to get even, just all the little things that you have to do to put a record out. It's a lot. It's a
It
lot of
is.
stuff, And so they're really patient with us, and they've been great, man. So cheers to Slagle, Faley, Tracy, everybody.
Cheers to all that, man. Cheers to all the reps that have been around also. And some things just go well together. Joffre Cowboy and Metal Blade Records. Let's just keep that going. Now, something I want to get into this really quick because I got to applaud all of you guys because each of you went above and beyond on this record, from Beyond the Chemical Doré all the way to the Forever Rot. I
Thank
can
you.
tell this Joffre Cowboy, because you guys, I feel like that signature sound that you guys really put down with, maybe even with Demonocracy, going into Sun Eater, there was that established sound. Like I said, brought me back to a good time. This is 40 minutes of bone crushing death metal brutality. Johnny went on to say, I'm going to quote him here, with the age comes more experience and ideas that we wouldn't have considered in our earlier years. Nick, I don't know if this is a, I want to, maybe a question for him, but I want to get your thoughts on it. How much did things change, from when you first started composing on this album to where you ended up finishing it? Like did a lot change in between? Did nothing change, which is also fine? Did you already have a specific sound from day one
Yeah, we knew in
or Moon
mind that we
Healer?
wanted to do like Sun Eater part two, but really more like expansive, so like we wanted like Sun Eater, we had this sort of template, right? That was kind of like, oh, we want, futuristic tones, and like I wanted clean bass, like no distortion, no sans amp or
Dude, you
duck glass
knocked
on the
it out on the
bass.
bass on this album.
Thanks, man.
Sorry, gonna.
And so and so we knew we wanted all those, and those kind of weird ethereal tones, the
Yes.
really super moody stuff, like just different than your standard regular guitar distortion. And then we knew what we wanted, like vocally, Johnny really knew what he wanted to do, less lyrics, not like Bibles like the old songs used to be, but like saying less, saying more with less actual lyrics. It's like a
Yeah.
paragraph per song, and then enunciating in all these crazy ways. So we knew that we wanted to do that. And so the songs go back as far as at least 2016. I think it might be earlier than that, but
Wow.
I want to go back and listen to them. I did pop up probably a few months ago and heard like an old version on my phone, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck song is this? And then I was like, oh,
B-sides.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's like we just really wanted to make sure that because it's taking on this kind of very massive, like roller coaster, schizophrenia roller coaster,
Yeah.
that it still flowed, that like the track made sense, that the track connected you, that there wasn't a missing piece of track, and you're like, how the fuck, this doesn't fucking work to go from there. So really, that was really more about what it was, and like just changing, playing with tones a bit, especially once Sukoff got involved. Where he's a tone master, tone goblin, and he's such a great player too, that like
Yeah.
he's always going to add in these melodies that like you'd have a riff, and he'll be like, not that note, change that note to watch this note, and you're like, that is so fucking weird, how did you come up with that? But that's
Yeah.
brilliant, that's brilliant, we're using it, so yeah, I think like overall, like the essence of the songs are still what they were, but it's about making them flow better, and then making them just better in general. You know what I mean? To
And
be.
shout out to Jason Suecof, if people don't know who we're talking about, because he's also worked with Death Angel, Black Dahlia, like you mentioned, DC.
Carnifex.
Yeah. I mean, at Audio
Cannibal. I
Hammer,
think he's done Cannibal. No.
also?
Audio
Yeah,
Hammer.
Audio Hammer. Yeah, that was the studios. But dude, I'm an audiophile these days, Nick. I'm very picky on how
Oh,
my music
cool.
to sound, and Jason knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I
Now
agree.
we're approaching the last, we got a couple of minutes, but
We got
Nick,
five.
brother, we covered a good amount of this, on the ground of this awesome interview, by the way, first off. This has
When you
been
know where you got to
great.
go, you're like, okay,
Dude,
we got to move. You're good at that.
I have to bring you back for Havoc, dude, because
most definitely.
like I said, I don't know what you can and cannot tell me about Havoc, but I do want to just No, sharing so much about like who you are and what Jaw for a Cowboy is all about. I really appreciate
Sure.
that. You know, representing the music scene still today, even the fans, also the form of display that you guys convey. I look at the YouTube comments. I know as a musician, you're like, eh, whatever, we're just gonna put it out there.
I
But
read them.
as a journalist, dude, they're ready for you.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah,
I know from the
yeah.
different experiences and perspectives in your timeline that you've taken and you know what you've discussed about, you know, performing for as long as you have and the people you have met, obviously, and worked with. During
Sure.
this amazing record, the records before that, the hiatus, right? The touring, the
Right.
growing fan base, getting through that goddamn pandemic. And of course, the relationship you have with the music is very important. I feel as a fan and as a journalist, I feel like we're entering an exciting part of Jaw for a Cowboy's career with
Yeah.
Moon Healer. You know, I'm excited to
I'll
see
take that.
where you guys go from here. Hopefully we don't have to wait 10 record 10
Yeah,
10
yeah.
sorry my excuse me 10 years before the next one. But
Sure.
definitely level inspiration to what you're doing here, Nick, but you're seeing results too. Let me
Yeah.
remind you of that.
That's
And
great.
you know,
Yeah.
and I want to round this out into have your aspirations, I don't know, as like a musician or hell as a human being, have
Sure.
they changed or evolved since when you first started performing in this industry? Like, do you see things differently today?
Yeah, I think, there is something about the part about, like, for example, choosing to just the other guy's choosing to settle down, settle down, and like get a serious, Tony became a doctor.
Bro.
Tony moved to Ireland and went to med school and he just graduated, like, and he's a fucking physician.
And he's just
So,
shredding on the guitar. No big deal. No big deal.
right? And so, like, for me, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, oh, I can't get myself to do that, but it does make you think that when you're younger, it's kind of all about, dude, as long as I got food in my stomach and roof over my head, then fuck yeah, let's go,
Easy to
And
say.
now it's kind of more like, no, you got to plan for the future. Like, you need to, be on top of your shit from a business perspective, from what you offer, like from being able to even figure out how to collect all the money that you like. The little bit of money that's available from royalties, like, you got to go try all these different ways. There's no easy company that's like, oh, we collect everything for and give it to you. Like, you got to go to this company for this, mechanical royalties. You got to go to this place for your digital streaming place. You got to go to this if you want your YouTube royalties. It's crazy, right? So, just like, I guess, trying to be more wise about that side of things so that way you can try to maximize, I guess, not as easy to make a better living as by choosing to stick doing, fucking death metal in your 40s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and musically though, I would say that's the other side that you've been crafting this whole time. Like, you become a different person. We literally are. And who Tony had to become to write this record, Tony wrote these most of these riffs and listening to the guys that he was listening to, like Tony Rice and
Yeah.
Danny Gatton and Guthrie Govan,
Yeah.
and I mean the Aristocats, dude. And then
Yeah.
all of these insane non-standard like shred guitarists and Dime too. Obviously, he's still got a lot all the Dime sauce too. But like all that hybrid picking, all these crazier techniques that are coming from almost like country and all these other genres. That's what's all inside the DNA of this record. And so this record couldn't have been written unless things did this exact same way. We would have written some other type of record. Maybe it would have been cool. But for Moonhealer to come out the way that it was, like, everybody had to do what they were doing for those 10 years. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of crazy in that way to think about, like, oh, our choices always lead us towards a specific outcome, right? And if you like the outcome, then you have to be grateful for every single one of the choices that you made along the way, even if,
Yeah.
even if they caused pain,
Man, you couldn't have said it any better. And take it from Jaw for a Cowboy. You can be a doctor and play death metal, just so you know. Don't ever think differently. So if Tony can do it, you can do it too. Lesson
I'm sure
learned.
he blasts fucking King Diamond in the fucking operating room.
God, I hope so. Man, now we gotta ask Tony that. You gotta probably like just let me know about that. But Nick, man, let's stay in touch on the socials, brother.
Sure.
I'll let you know when this podcast comes out. So
Okay.
for your fans to hear. I
Cool.
can't wait for what do we got? 2 weeks?
Yep,
About two
less than 2
weeks
weeks, dude.
from this Friday,
Before
dude.
September.
I can't wait. Like I said, it's been on my
Thanks,
rotation
man.
since I've been received the album earlier this year. But Moon Healer drops February 23rd on Metal Blade Records. Do you I'm again, No tour dates yet, but
There's
maybe.
probably they probably will be able to see us, but you'll probably I'll put it this way, you might have to fly, but
That's okay.
if you're willing to fly, then you should be able to see us this year.
Dude, I can't wait, man.
Thanks,
This is
brother.
the awesome Nick Shingellis from Drop for a Cowboy. And do
Appreciate
me
it,
a Nick a
man.
favor, guys. Buy the record because the band can't do it without your help. You can listen to this podcast, of course, on all major podcast streams out there. Check us out on interviewonfire.com. Nick, much love, brother. Have a
Thank you,
great
dude.
release, man.
I
Let's stay in
appreciate
touch,
it,
and I'll
man.
talk to you next time,
Yeah,
okay?
stay in touch. I hope we can talk a little longer next time.
Yeah.
So these and
Yeah.
then when it's all packed, like these
Dude,
30
I
minute
get
ones,
it.
I'm like, oh, I just
We gotta do Havoc. We gotta do Havoc on another day, all right?
Okay, sounds good,
All
brother.
right. Later, man.
All
My
right,
friend.
take care,
Bye.
dude.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review as that helps us tremendously. If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.